Hey, my name is Legacy from the Perfect 10 Club, and you're listening to 90.7 WGXC ACRA.
Everything is real. Radio. Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
Everything is real. Radio.
The Everything is Real radio program broadcasts here on WGXC 90.7 FM every second Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't miss it.
Hi everyone, it's Lily, the Youth Peer Leader from Mental Health Association of Columbia Green County's Clubhouse. Are you a teen wanting to learn more about health education? Maybe you're looking to complete your volunteer hours or in need of a job. The weekly teen clinic on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Family Planning, located on the third floor of the county building on Main Street in Catskill, can help you answer any of your questions. Information can be found at greengovernment.com. Hope to see you there.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Benice Wijeskoot of Stuyvesant, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
We are a twice a month movie talk show here on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We pick a theme each episode and then we get on the airwaves to talk about the movies that we watched around that theme. We also have really fun guests and interviews, such as tonight. We'll introduce our guests momentarily, but we're going to start by telling you about what's playing in the theaters in our area. And I'll start by telling you what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Wicked for Good, Zootopia 2, and The Running Man. You can find out more by heading to windhamtheater.com.
All right, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Sentimental Value. That's it right now. Check back in later. And then heading down to Kingston at Upstate Midtown, we have The Tale of Cillian and Rise of the Guardians, hosted by My Kingston Kids. And then last but not least, at the Orpheum Theater, which is the location in Saugerties, we have Begonia, Nuremberg, Fugg's Film Close Up with director Chuck Smith, The Running Man, Wicked for Good, and Crimson Peak, which is a movie I love. If you are interested in more information, you can find out more at upstatefilms.org.
All right, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Spotlight Cinema.
Yeah, so true.
I was about to say Spotlight Theater. Spotlight Theater. That is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got it.
Spotlight Theater in Hudson, New York. That's the 8-screen theater that's on Fairview Avenue. We have Sisu, Road to Revenge, Wicked for Good, Now You See Me 3, Predator Badlands, Sarah's Oil, The Running Man, Begonia, Grand Prix of Europe, Zootopia 2, Nuremberg, and that's it. You can find out more by going to spotlighttheater.com and selecting the Hudson location from their menu.
All right, and now I've got great news. The Crandall Theater, it's back open in Chatham. In case you were waiting, like we all were.
We've been waiting.
And I'm going to tell you about what's playing right now, which is Wicked for Good. And then let me tell you about what's coming up in the future. They have Trading Places, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, The Polar Express, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Silent Holiday Films with Live Music, Elf, The Sound of Music, Sentimental Value, Begonia, Home Alone, and Marty Supreme. That's all coming up at the Crandall Theater. You can find out more information by going to crandalltheater.org. And that's theatre.org.
Ooh, okay.
Don't forget.
Okay. All right. Next up, Story Screen Cinema. This is why I got tripped up. My two Fairview theaters. All right. Story Screen Cinema is the three-screen theater that is also on Fairview Avenue right next to the liquor store and the Burger King. You can find out what we got planned right now. Is on November 29th, we have Pasta Night, and they're playing The Big Lebowski, brought to you by Sleepover Trading Company. More on that later. We also have Wicked for Good, Keeper, and Train Dreams, and The Running Man, as well as a bunch of very fun repertory screenings. In addition to The Big Lebowski, we have Love Actually, Elf, and Pride and Prejudice. Head on over to storyscreenpresents.com to find out more.
All right, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited, located in Hudson. This weekend, we have It Was Just an Accident, Put Your Soul on Your Hand and Walk, Cactus Pears, Caravaggio, and Auction. And you can also see the National Theatre of London live, which is the Fifth Step, and also the Met Opera. If you're interested in more information, you can find out more at timeandspace.org.
All right. Last but not least is the Community Theater in Catskill. Right now, we have Mistress Dispeller, Wicked for Good, and Seven Samurai. Upcoming movies are High and Low, It's a Wonderful Life, Little Amelie, or The Character of Rain, and The Hidden Fortress. Find out more by going to communitytheaterny.com. All right. I wanted to end on that one because... The Community Theater is a beautiful, beautiful theater here on Main Street in Catskill, just down the street from the radio station, that we're so, so excited it's reopened. And it didn't just reopen. It reopened with a video store in it, run by our amazing guests, Rob and Guido. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. I'm so excited to talk about your video store. We talked on our last show where we had Mike and Diana from Story Screen on. We talked about how special it feels to have theaters opening, yes. new theaters mm-hmm. opening yes. after COVID, when we thought we were going to, it was going to be
maybe
it.
Lose them. Yeah. yeah.
And so similarly, having a video store open in this, the year of our Lord, 2025.
<It's> incredible.
We're so Huge lucky. News. We have everything in the world here.
So nice. Best town on earth.
Oh my God.
We agree.
Yeah. So let's tell us about how you guys met and where you're from to start out.
Yeah. Well, this is Guido talking. We met in New York City about 13 years ago. We're both from New Jersey, went to NYU, found ourselves in the city, and Rob was the host of a queer cabaret show
yes.
that
yes.
I attended, and the theme was TV. I won some candy for some Battlestar Galactica trivia.
Oh, yes! Oh my God, I'm so glad I asked. I was like, wow.
But I don't remember him at all from that event.
Yes.
Not
but whatever. That's when we met. No.
But then back then, the algorithm on Facebook, so I would friend everyone that would come to the
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
Back
As then, was the
exactly.
fashion then.
And then yeah. you would get strangers, not like today, where it's yeah. all AI being yeah. put into your yeah. Facebook feed.
Exactly.
But then it would be like, who is this guy? Wow, he likes a lot of the same things as me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I asked him out, and so that was...
We went out and... got married on our 10th anniversary yeah. and here we are yeah. 12 yes. plus years later.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I asked. For a second I was like, was that a basic embarrassing question? But no. Battlestar Galactica yes. trivia.
Thrilling.
Oh my God. Oh, okay, so we were talking before the show how you ended up here. You're both from the city and mm-hmm. then you have family history coming up here and you fell in love with the area.
Yeah, my family has been coming to the Catskills since my grandmother is 95 and she started coming when she was 1 year old.
Amazing.
They literally had to take a ferry because the highway didn't
yeah.
exist. So she's been coming up to Round Top and I had been coming here my whole life. So once we got together, we started coming up here and then we were looking for a place to vacation just for a long weekend. Mm-hmm. And we found Catskill because yes. it had a comic book slash board game store. It had this 1920s movie theater, and we were just drawn to it. So it's so funny that so much of our life has now revolved around the community theater.
Yeah.
We came here 9 years ago because of it, and now our business is in it.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's so beautiful.
So special. So then how this, I want to know about the steps that led you to now running a video store. And so for, before you opened the store, you'd been doing VHS screenings mm-hmm. at Avalon Lounge and at Story Screen. And at some of the drive-ins or no, or
at the Rosendale, at Rosendale Theater, we've also done events there, and really actually started again, coming back to the community mm-hmm. theater back in October, 2023, we were lamenting the fact that there wasn't a movie theater here.
Yeah.
It was Halloween. It was spooky season.
Yeah.
Wanted to watch some horror movies. So we went to Liam and the gang at the Avalon Lounge and said, would you be open to us showing a movie here? We showed a movie called WNUF Halloween Special.
Yes. So fun.
Oh my God.
Yes, love it. We're friendly with the director. Good. So we reached out to him directly and it was like, Chris, can we license this movie?
Oh, that's awesome.
So, you know, it's very small crowd, and then just kind of built there from there, monthly screenings, mm-hmm. pop-ups with events, with VHS, things like that.
And we had been lifelong collectors of so many things. I mean, part of why
that's what I was gonna
moved
ask.
Up here was so that we essentially saw buying our house as the opportunity to buy a giant storage unit
yes.
for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's what a house is.
We collect comics and toys.
Well, Guido, tell them how many comics you have.
I have 35,000 comics.
Wow!
Are you the one that has the signs on the side of the road?
I don't, and I am always angry at that person because they're coming through and swiping up the comics I want. But
for those of you out there in Radioland who don't know, there are signs all over the area on the side of the road that say "I buy" or "We buy comics" or whatever, and with a phone number, so
no,
you could get ahead
me.
Of them.
I no longer really need to buy, but I still do. So we also collect movies on all formats and started to get more into our VHS collection. And so as we started doing screenings, we were able to draw upon our collection, not only of commercial VHS, but one thing we were really obsessed with was taped off TV VHS.
Yes.
Yes.
So that, because we've always loved ephemera. We've mm-hmm. always collected all types of ephemera, print ephemera, antique stuff. And having tapes where there might be a news segment or
yes.
a commercial or something that just does not exist.
Yeah. It's nowhere else on Earth.
No.
Yeah.
No. We think the internet
it's
has
so
everything.
It doesn't.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It really doesn't.
I've looked for many things.
Those like personal archives are actually how we have, the only way we have so much actually really important history as
yeah.
time forever marches on. Like,
yeah.
Those mm-hmm. little personal collections are what really matters.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, we work on digitizing a lot of those, and we use those, and it's so fun when you find something, oh, this doesn't exist anywhere else.
Oh,
we've
so
got
cool.
probably around 2,000 plus taped off of TV things, and
amazing.
We're slowly yeah. in the process of digitizing things. Like, basically, stuff is running in the VCR all the time.
That's so
we
cool.
go through a lot of VCRs.
Sure. Oh my gosh, I have so many VCR related questions. I'm like, what's your favorite way to clean your VCR? Like, do those cleaning tapes really work? Like,
no, they don't.
No, okay. they don't.
Paper and rubbing alcohol.
Paper,
oh, okay.
regular printer paper,
yes.
rubbing alcohol, and you just wipe
and
it on
you run the paper along the head.
On amazing. The head, and that's
it.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. But if you have a VCR TV, like a combo,
that's,
you can't really do
no,
that.
No, those are tough. Those are tough once they're dead.
I have one at
gone.
Home, and it's... It is tough, but I love it. Oh my gosh, what was I going to ask next? Okay, so you started collecting everything, VHS. I love it. That's what I was going to say is I had my personal recorded from TV tape of the episode of The X-Files where Mulder and Scully finally kiss.
Yes.
And it was like
wow.
this like holy object to me as a kid. And I don't have it anymore. And I even decorated the spine with like
oh,
the
no.
X. And like, yeah, that's really sad. Don't get rid of your stuff.
No.
Don't listen to them when they say get rid of your
no.
stuff.
No,
some of our
absolutely
holy
not.
Grails that we want are things that, of course, we had growing
yeah.
up.
Because
yeah. we...
Yeah.
Both growing up in New York, New Jersey area, we had WPIX, which was
oh, yeah.
New York's movie station.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It's kind of lost on people today because TV stations don't do this, but they would show a movie a night on a Saturday. You could watch three movies and real and weird stuff. Like, yeah. We've actually showed at Story Screen, we showed Child's Play WPIX, and we showed it with the original commercials.
Amazing.
So, but could you imagine just like sitting down and seeing this rated R movie about this killer doll on a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, and your parents are like, we're going out, whatever.
Yeah. God, we lost so much when we lost like cable.
I know, we really did. Yes, and agreed. Like, cassette recordings of radio. My partner grew up in California, which is famous for its cars and thusly for amazing radio stations because everyone's driving. And he had so many incredible cassette recordings of live radio from the time. Yeah. Like,
amazing.
Yeah, like Bone Thugs and Harmony calling into like the rap station. Yeah, it was so cool. All right, let's talk about the video store.
Yeah.
Like, how has it been setting it up? How has it been running it? What have you... Yeah, tell me about your experience running it.
Well, some of it is how we got to have a video store.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was a store in Chatham, New York called Video Visions.
Yes.
And if anyone went by it, and this was certainly our experience, we drove by it probably about 8 years ago. And of course, we were already obsessed with video stores, wanted to run one. We drove by this and said, there's no way that this is still open.
Yeah,
this
totally.
Because everyone should look up photos of it online because it was preserved in amber from the 80s, early 90s.
Perfect.
But we went in and we met Steve Campbell, who was the owner. Yeah. We had a long conversation.
1984.
Yeah, it was open from, it started in 84. We got to talking to Steve. We got our membership card.
Yes.
Yes. We went there, a decent amount. And then in 2020 with COVID, it closed down. Steve lived above. So I would always call him during COVID and say, hey, I want to help you reopen the video store.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he also got ill with some other things as well. And he passed away actually just shortly after I saw him for the last time in December 2024.
Okay.
And luckily, we were able to get in touch with his surviving family. And I said, you know, Steve always talked about this being a video library, and I would love to keep this together as one thing, because a lot of people would just open the doors and come in, fill a bag, but I wanted to keep Steve's legacy as a whole.
Yeah.
So after many, many months and many calls, we were able to finalize that we would secure the collection.
Wow. Which meant we took over 25,000 movies.
Wow.
Probably half VHS, half DVD, and they're in a storage unit here in Catskill.
Yeah,
incredible.
And that was what was really unique about Video Visions, because yes, there are still a few video stores out there, but almost all of them had converted fully to DVD.
To DVD.
Absolutely.
And what Steve would do would, once a movie came out on DVD, he would keep the VHS copy as well.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that about 10,000 of these movies are still on tape.
It's incredible.
And so parallel to that, we are starting to hear that the community theater is going to be reopening from the incredible team and your past guest, Greg Mills, of the Highway drive-in in Coxsackie.
Yeah.
And we did a pop-up window display for their summer solstice event to make it look like a video store in there. And this was before anything with Video Visions was even public, before we'd taken over the collection. And the display went really well. It was a lot of fun, and that sparked the conversation. And then as soon as we shared that we were taking this over and this was an interest, and as soon as they shared how they were redesigning the retail space to connect it to the theater and have it be a part of that, it was a match made in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we had so cool. hoped to do this probably maybe 5 years down the road. We kept saying, okay, we're going to find a place.
Or
a few more years in our day job careers. And then this happened really on top of each other. We closed the Video Vision collection in August. This had to open in early September. It was over about a three-week turnaround time.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible.
Oh, my God.
That is amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah, it is so, so cool. So for those of you out there who maybe haven't seen it, when you're looking at the front of the theater, you see the beautiful old marquee and the doors where you enter the theater, and just to the left where it used to be a storefront or something. But
yeah, it was a hair salon. It was a paint shop. Right. It had went through a few versions, again, never connected to the theater itself.
That's right. And then there's this beautiful beautiful video store with like the like perfect lighting just tucked away in it. It's so, so amazing. Yeah, so you opened in early September. That's
yes,
right. Okay.
Correct.
Wow. And do you offer membership cards and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so that's all new. So we opened with primarily retail, mm-hmm. and that's still there. So we have vintage toys, comics, magazines, VHS for sale. While we continued to organize the back catalog of Video Visions and get ourselves together, and we've recently launched memberships and are starting rentals in December so that people can come in, rent a tape, rent a DVD, in 2026, rent a VCR.
Amazing.
And we're going to roll all of that out as part of the work that we're doing. Because something that also was part of Video Visions, but really every video store, is that video stores are a place of community.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
so much that you get from being able to stand in a store, and whether you talk to the clerks or not, and of course there's a storied history of pretentious clerks who don't want to talk
yeah.
to you, which we try not to be, but but regardless, just being in a physical space with other people who like the same thing, there's something really powerful about that. And so we're really excited to build on that with membership and with ways that people can join us and work with us and get things that they like as their part of their life here in Catskill.
Well, and that's very funny because we just did a screening with Alex Ross Perry mm-hmm. of his new documentary Video Heaven, which is the video store as seen in film and television.
Wow,
3 hours, 180 clips. I was
yes.
lucky enough to be able to interview Alex as part of the event.
Yeah.
The big part of the movie is how all these clerks were jerks or they were
of course
awkward. But yeah. he said, you know,
like
that
their
was
buddy and clerks
exactly
right?
exactly
yeah.
But so much of that, you know, he talked about was really a construction
right.
of film and television
yeah.
because you needed the conflict that would be there
right
yeah.
and not just the clerks but the entire video store experience
mm-hmm.
often in film, or if you think of when you see it on something like Seinfeld mm-hmm. it's always this awkward situation. And he said, you know, we were talking about all these people who came to the screening. None of you who would come to the screening tonight would be here if you had had a bad experience.
Right. Exactly.
Like we all feel
exactly.
nostalgic about it. Yeah.
And I feel like in those, you get the jerk video store clerk or the judgy video store mm-hmm. clerk. Just thinking about how, like, you know, like it was this community mm-hmm. thing you could like it's something that you did in public. You
right.
made your selections in public. Now you
yeah.
privately do them
right.
at home
yeah.
streaming, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, you had a guy who could judge you for renting Sleepless in Seattle or like instead of some French new wave, like,
right.
you know? But I don't remember it being like that in real life.
Yeah.
I just have good memories, like you're saying. And it's what people miss. Like, it's so nice that this is, you're bringing this back for people. And so many people now who have kids who want to share that experience
yeah.
with
yeah.
their kids. And I think a lot of young kids who totally missed the video store era, they can feel what they miss.
Uh-huh.
I know I have friends who have kids who, when they talk about their childhood of going to arcades and comic book stores and video stores, their kids are like, oh man.
Yes. I'm so surprised weird. We see a lot of kids, and this is kids who are 5 years old, but also teenagers or people who are 19, 20, come in and are so nostalgic for something
yeah.
that they didn't even live through,
yeah.
but because of their parents or because of the media,
yeah.
they have this relationship to it. And
totally.
It's so cool to watch that.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm so curious about like, the things that you're witnessing
yeah,
since
totally.
It's been open, things like that.
Yeah, one of the things, because we don't have kids, one thing that some folks that have parents have, or who are parents, have
mm-hmm.
said is that the great thing with a DVD is you can put it in and it's 90 minutes and I know my kid is watching that
yep.
and I know another video is not going to auto start
yes.
afterwards.
Yes.
There's this finite element to it, which they really appreciate.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
I know, me neither. It's like something that just never, we also don't have kids.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Thinking about like, yeah, there's so much of modern streaming that is you watch something, it ends, and then another thing starts
mm-hmm.
and you have no control over
no.
it.
No.
And like I just, one of my earliest memories is being very, very young and watching The Lion King and rewinding it and watching it again
yeah.
and rewinding it and watching it again. And I'm sure my parents loved that.
Yeah, like, amazing. I can nap.
Yeah. Drop that kid off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I follow a couple VHS collectors as well as you guys on Instagram. And was it some account recently. We got some fellow programmers us waving hi.
They're going to the movies, by the way. That's
wow.
Anya texted me earlier and asked if I wanted to go to the movies with her. And I was like, I'm on the radio.
Talking about movies.
Yeah, exactly. There was a lot of... So my mom... I used to get to go with my mom to BJ's, the wholesale store. And... when I went with her, she would say you could pick out one movie to buy.
Yes.
And we had a lot of really weird straight to video kids movies, including one that came up on my timeline and one of these VHS accounts or maybe Eternal Family streaming service or something popped up.
Yeah.
The Giant of Thunder Mountain. Have you come across this movie?
No. Tell us about it.
It's a beautiful story. Okay, I can't recall the actor, but he is in many, many, many movies because he is an extremely tall man. Mm-hmm. It's not the guy who plays the giant in Twin Peaks. It's the guy who plays the giant in Big Fish.
Oh.
Do you know that actor's
yes.
name?
Okay.
Yeah,
Matthew Michael.
Even if you knew it, I would be like, yes, sure.
I don't know. Whatever you're
100%.
Saying.
100%.
But he is a very tall man who lives alone on the mountain, and he's gruff because he's been unaccepted his whole life, and a small child from the village befriends him. It's a great story. Very simple, very beautiful. But it's like tapes, you know, tapes like that all tapes feel rare and special now, but it's ones like that where there's a few of them floating around out there that are so I forgot that it existed in my mind until I see it again.
We've had so many of that going through the Video Visions collection.
I was going to say, you're giving that experience to people.
Yeah, because when Steve was running it, we actually closed down his computer, and I believe it was running on Windows 95.
Oh, amazing. Yes.
So we could not just take a floppy disk out of that with the file. So what we're doing now is going through tape by tape, DVD by DVD, putting it into an electronic system so that we can see what everything is there and that people can access it. But it literally is one at a time. Yeah. And we're discovering so many things where it's like, I've never heard of this.
No.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing you found so far?
Well, Guido, you have to tell the Kim Basinger tape.
Oh. Well, so we did not even know as VHS collectors that there's a world of bootleg VHS, but like by... actual companies that would mass produce bootlegs. So we didn't know this existed.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. And the reason we found it out is we found this tape called Dancing with the Shadows starring Kim Basinger and Don Johnson.
Okay.
And it's talking, there's quotes on it about being from 9.5 weeks and there's all these actors and directors on it. You cannot find this movie, these actors, nothing on
IMDb. All the actors, except for those two, are fake.
So we're like, what is going on here? So finally, with the help of the hive mind of the internet, we found someone who had done some research on this, and it turns out it was a company that is known in the 80s for taking made-for-TV movies from the 70s, repackaging them as if they're new, and releasing them without licensing them.
Wow.
And that was what happened here. This was some 1978 made-for-TV movie before Kim Basinger was famous, before Don Johnson was famous.
Right.
They repackaged it around the 9.5 weeks time to capitalize on it.
Even the art, they took Kim Basinger from another photo shoot Photoshop put these together. And we have to put it in our... Exactly. And we have to put it in our own VCR, but we haven't yet, in part because we went on eBay and it sells for like $300 to $500.
Oh, I'm sure.
So we're terrified to break it.
It's a very valuable item.
My God.
So that's incredible. Stumble on things like that and you're like, wow, there's this whole world of VHS. Because VHS was so popular.
Yeah.
And at Video Visions, there was a documentary made some years ago and they cited this. And then I know people who've been writing about VHS and the return to physical media now are talking about... We think streaming has so much, but in fact, streaming has something like 40,000 movies if you aggregate all the services. And on VHS, during the 20 years that movies were released to VHS, there were something like 300,000 movies
amazing.
Released.
Yeah, that's
so
amazing.
There are so many movies that are just not out there that probably, you know, Big Giant on Thunder Mountain probably never made the leap to DVD.
Literally. You cannot find it.
So many movies out of print. And now, of course, like you're saying, there's a lot of tapes, even not bootleg ones, that are so valuable now, especially like there's a renewed interest in collecting them, like with records, and you get especially horror and genre films.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And a big thing often was the music rights.
Yeah. Right.
We rented a movie actually from Video Visions called Shag, and it's like a 60s.
But it's set in, it was filmed in the 80s. It's set in a 60s yeah. teen comedy.
Yeah, yes. So it's all 80s musicians. And that's why it never even made it to DVD, because right. nobody wanted to pay for, you know, Belinda Carlisle songs.
Yeah, totally. Oh, man.
Incredible.
I know one of my really sought after movies is Brian Usna's Society.
Oh yes, yeah.
And that one is worth maybe also a couple $100 or yeah. something. Like mm-hmm. people, you know, people can charge whatever on eBay.
I know.
It's right. so expensive it and ridiculous. It's so hard to find. All right, so before we ask you some more specific questions that we sent you ahead of time about video stores, I just, for our listeners out there, I want to say again, we are talking to Rob and Guido from Sleepover Trading Company. And they have opened a brick and mortar video store in downtown Catskill. It's so exciting. And then tell people maybe how they can find more information or what hours you have. What's the rental process like?
Yeah. Well, we're open 5 days a week right now because we open along with the movie theater. So we're both the community theater, and we are hoping that expands in 2026. And our hours are online at sleepovertrading.com or on most social media at sleepovertrading.
Yeah, typically, and we'll be open for a special events as well. So like I mentioned, the Video Heaven documentary that we did, and we have hopefully some other things coming up also. And yeah, in addition to the rentals, the rest of the store is retail. So as we said, we've got comics, we've got toys, we've started to do wholesale with a lot of great of the indie boutique distributors like Severin, Lunch Meat, awesome. Vinegar Syndrome, stuff
so
like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want people to be able to come buy their physical media with us and not have to buy it online and
love that.
And ship it and all of that stuff. And our memberships encompass more than just rental. So if people are interested in renting, that's how you do it. But we also have other perks built in. We're going to do some member exclusive events. We're going to offer a discount on one of the tiers, and all that information is online. And then we're trying to do really cool stuff. Like right now we have an art exhibit of local artists who imagined sequels, the VHS cover art to sequels that they wish existed.
Wow.
Oh my
God. And so
that's so cool.
That is up for, while we're having this conversation, just one more week, because okay. we need to replace it out with the
one
rental
week,
wall.
Folks. Yes.
But we're hoping to do more exhibits in the new year. So.
Oh my amazing. God, that's so, that's cool. so sick.
Would you do like ordering like from something like Severin or Vinegar
yes,
Syndrome.
Yes, we've done okay. some special orders.
We've just gotten our first special
yes.
order,
oh,
so
amazing.
It's very exciting.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to talk to you after the show. amazing. Okay, we have some questions.
We have some questions. All right. So, obviously, we're thinking a lot about the video rental stores of our childhood.
Yes.
And one of the things that I always think about is when I was very young, which also, Amanda and I were both born in 1991, so we're kind of there for the end.
Yeah. The bitter end.
The bitter end. I always think about going to the video store with my mom and my older sister and walking past all of the different movie covers, and then there were some that I really super, super didn't want to look at. I would see them and I would go, I don't want to look at that. I'm not supposed to. And I would like walk kind of fast and avert my eyes.
Yeah.
Are there any movie video covers that you remember specifically like really upsetting you?
For me, it was any of the Hellraisers.
Yes.
Pinhead was so freaky to me.
Yes.
Really scary.
Yes.
I didn't even see that movie until a few years ago, in part because of, as a child, being like nope, can't watch that. Don't know what's going on. Don't want to know.
Don't want anything.
None of my business.
And they're so good. I mean, the first two.
So good.
Oh my gosh.
And I was always the kid that was obsessed with horror. Yeah. I always wanted to watch them. But the one that really stands out in my mind is Night of the Demons.
Oh,
the 80s movie, and we actually have it on the wall here
amazing.
For the Video Visions collection.
What is the cover?
The demon with the white face, Angela, and she's got an invitation to the party that she
and
has.
And like a prom tiara.
Prom tiara,
yes.
like spiky teeth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. When I was a kid, my brother was visiting, and I have two much older brothers, and one of them was visiting and he was watching Mars Attacks. Oh, and yeah. I was just a little too little. Yep, totally. So it wasn't funny to me. It was really freaky to me.
Oh. Yeah.
And I saw just the scene where they like shrink down the president really tiny and then squish him. And I was like, this is so sad and scary. Like, and so I had to run by the cover because the aliens, the brainy faces freaked me out so much that I would run by the cover of that. And then the cover of Dead Alive. What's the original title?
Brain Dead.
Yeah.
With her opening her
eyes. Yeah.
That's what it is for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's yours? Oh,
could
funny.
Not handle
it. Yeah. It was so, and that's one that I would, you know, when kids are freaked out and they kind of just stare because they're computing, their little ears are worrying. That's when I would kind of like stare and blink for a little bit before my mom would be like, you want to come over here?
And that cover is one of those great things about the VHS era, because that cover actually has almost nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah, nothing at all.
Yeah, I've still never seen it. I would like to watch it.
It's very cool. So great. It's so fun.
Now you would probably find it
funny. I know. I'm sure I would really enjoy it. I'm sure I would love it.
Jason Goes to Hell also freaked me out. Yeah. Like the worm through the hockey mask.
Yeah, totally. That's
like, that one. Have I seen Jason Goes to Hell? Maybe.
I feel like I saw it on TV.
Yeah. Exactly. But that one really freaks me out. That one really freaked me out.
Other one, like, not actually that scary, but for some reason I really did not like it, was Evil Dead 2, the skull with like the eyes.
Yeah.
I know.
Mm. I had a hard time with that when I was little. I remember like seeing it and being like, oh, it's looking at you. Me.
Exactly. Yeah. It's non-eyes are following me.
I saw Army of Darkness like pretty young. Like, that's a movie that my parents showed me when
like
I was
kind
pretty
of a kid's.
But I hadn't seen Evil Dead 2 until I was an adult, and it was so like, I don't know about that. Why does it have eyeballs? I just don't know.
What about like special covers? Like, remember there was certain releases that had like the lenticular.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love a good lenticular cover.
The Indian in the cupboard that came with the key.
Yes.
To open the door.
We just found some Patrick Swayze movie I'd never heard of, and the cover is all like translucent with some foil backing behind it. Very cool stuff. Yeah.
Whoa. I know. I'm trying to think of any other really special ones. I can't
almost
even.
On the other end, the covers that weren't special, what's really brought me back to my renting days was seeing the Warner Brothers big clamshell boxes where they use the same kind of font and face on everything with those big green letters and stuff like that. And that would just be a plain poster, but the fact that they all look the same, stands out.
It's really satisfying. Absolutely. Like the golden kids books. I know. Oh my God. What did I just watch? I had never seen Sliver, but I have it on VHS because I got a ton of VHS from an estate sale in Albany of a man who passed away sadly, who used to do pinup girl paintings, and all of his movies were erotic thrillers.
Oh my god!
Those are really looking at somebody's stuff is like an amazing way to be like, what a guy,
what a treat.
Did you watch We Kill for Love, the documentary about the erotic thriller?
No.
It was so fascinating. We don't know a lot about that genre, this is like a 3-hour movie all about the history of
We Kill for
those
Love.
Movies.
Okay,
I think it's called We Kill for Love.
Noted. That's
highly recommend.
One down.
Yeah,
we both love erotic thrillers.
We do. But yeah. I pulled out Sliver and it was a red VHS.
Oh,
so,
always those thrilling. Are fun.
Yeah, yes. Totally. You're like, oh,
yeah. Oh, sleazy.
What happens on this one?
What the video stores that you grew up going to, describe the experience of going.
Well, my first one, it did not have a great name. It was called Video Survey in Teaneck, New Jersey.
That is very boring.
It's very boring. But it had all the things that you can kind of picture from a Stranger Things kind of era video store, with all of the standees and things like that.
Yes.
That's all the stuff
God.
You didn't get at Blockbuster and the big box stores.
Yeah.
Or those, one of my holy grails to get is the Nightmare on Elm Street 5 standee.
Oh my God.
I just remember it from that video
from
store.
Your childhood.
Totally. And I've tried. I really, really want to find photos of this video store. I can't find them at all. We actually then went to New Jersey just to see the building, and it's now a pickle store.
Oh my God. What a wild
late period capitalism, baby. Wow. Oh, man.
That's a lot of space.
I mean, I can't comment because we opened a video store, so
who am I to judge? I mean, and I love pickles, but that's like a lot of space. store. That's amazing. Oh, my God. Well, kind of like you were saying about collecting home recorded tapes and not having photos of the video store. Mm. Yeah, there are things you can't find on the internet because no one was taking photos of their
like that mundane
neighborhood video store.
Yeah.
Totally. There weren't any articles coming out about what's going on at my local video store that would have a photo of the interior.
Totally.
What about you, Guido?
For me, it was the Palmer Video in Montclair, New Jersey, which was part of a regional chain. So it was like halfway between a mom and pop and Blockbuster, bigger side. But the thing that I always remember looking forward to going, and this was probably a sign that I had a real collecting slash hoarding issue, was the previously viewed bin. So every single week I needed to go and find what movies, especially because I'm a little older, and back in the 80s, you couldn't really buy movies. They weren't doing home video just yet. That market hadn't opened up, and so movies would be like $80 or $90, and so you weren't buying them. You'd have to wait for the previously viewed copies in order to own that movie. So every week, I'd like go dig around and find did they put Elvira in the bin yet?
Please!
Oh my God. Ugh, my video store had a poster bin. That I was obsessed with.
Yes. That's fun.
When they were done being new releases for rental, then you could get
the poster.
Yeah, I had a Master and Commander poster.
Oh my God.
I wish I still have it. I would give
I'm
it
so
to
jealous.
You. I know. Yeah. I wish I still had it.
But that's not the coolest part of your store.
Oh my gosh, that's true. Okay, yes. The one that I grew up with, when I was really young, until I was 11 years old, I grew up on Martha's Vineyard, and we did have a Hollywood Video, but before Hollywood Video moved in, it was Island Video. And famously, Martha's Vineyard is where the movie Jaws was filmed. And the kids section of the video store was the Jaws mouth, a huge cutout of the Jaws mouth that you got to walk through.
Amazing.
That's so cool. It was so fun. And then I think Island Video, moved to like a tiny little business mall right next to a Radio Shack.
Oh.
Also,
yeah,
my pet store was right underneath where I would get crickets for my lizards. Yes. It was all there. And that one, didn't have didn't have a Jaws mouth, but it was really special. There was all sorts of whoever ran it had some really fun objects. Actually, now that I'm thinking about fun covers, I am remembering. This is DVD era now, too, so it's VHS and DVD. And they got a DVD set of all the seasons of the show Northern Exposure, which I've never seen, but it came in a puffer jacket.
Like
a tiny puffer
jacket. I remember
that. That does ring a bell.
Yeah. Like the tiny jacket.
Yeah. So I was always like, maybe I should watch that.
I was like, then I get the jacket.
Yeah.
Jenny, what does your store look like?
I don't remember what it was before it was a Hollywood Video, but we had, that's the one that I grew up going to was the Hollywood Video. And it was just, it was just kind of that. I think, I'm sure it was something before that, but I don't remember. And I meant to consult with some of the people in my family before this episode. <I forgot. laughs>
you'll consult with them at Thanksgiving.
But I do remember, like, after the Hollywood Video closed, then we started going to Blockbuster, and my sister was friends with one of the guys who worked there. Mm-hmm. She's a little older than me. And I remember she also got free posters.
Yeah. Oh, so cool.
And being like, whoa, what's up? And then she dated a guy who worked at the movie theater.
Oh,
and then she also got posters from him.
Crazy.
Damn. She knew what she was doing.
I know.
Yeah, Kelly. Yes. Oh my God. All right. What else do we have written down for our questions?
What else do we have written down? Wow, this has been such a great episode. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's really such a pleasure.
So nice.
Oh, here's a really good one.
Yes.
What movie did you want to rent so bad and your parents wouldn't let you?
This is really easy for me. It was the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
I was young, I don't know, 7, and I remember I couldn't rent it, and it was very rare that something was forbidden in my household. I was the youngest also of 3 with 2 significantly older sisters, and so I was sort of left to my own devices, but that one was off limits, and luckily, I had a neighbor who was 4 years older than me, And she immediately was like, oh, come over and watch it. And so went over, watched Rocky Horror Picture Show with her, and never looked back. So thank you to Amberly, who lived next door to me growing up.
Oh, my God. Those friends are so important.
They're so important.
My mom was also a little strict about what I could rent. Like, she was very hard line. I remember her being like, you're not 13 yet. You can't see a PG-13 movie. I was like, come on. Like, all my friends can. But yeah, all the friends whose parents did not care. And we got to watch whatever we wanted.
The power of the sleepover, dude.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What about you, Rob?
I was always into horror, and my parents were great. Always wanted me to watch horror, and I started with the Universal, the original things, but and I was always obsessed with the Phantom of the Opera and with the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical as well, and I would dress up like the Phantom of the Opera. So the one I really wanted to watch was the 1989 Phantom of the Opera with Robert Englund. Yes, and he he's gotten burned, and he kills people and takes their skin off and puts it on his face.
That rocks.
No way.
Yeah, so he's kind of Freddy looking because he's got like the burns there, and the cover is him with a like the classic Phantom mask, but it's a skull, which he doesn't actually wear in the movie.
Yeah,
but it's always a cool look.
Yeah, very cool look. And I always wanted to watch that. And I was like, oh. And then like all these things, like you forget about it, just leaves your brain.
Yeah.
And then it was a few years ago, and I found a VHS
copy. Found the VHS,
and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna stay up tonight and watch the Phantom of the Opera.
Take that, Mom.
How was it?
It's good. It's got also a small Molly Shannon role. Although it was one of those movies where they shot it all in the past, and then they were like, oh, people are gonna not like this, so they added a present bookends on either side. Always good. I think for the director of Halloween 4.
Okay. I've never seen Halloween 4.
No, me neither.
I'm a real Season of the Witch apologist.
Oh, I love Season of the Witch.
It doesn't require apologists.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Halloween 4 is maybe the most Halloween-y of the holiday, aside from Season of the Witch.
Okay.
That's why I love Season of the Witch so much. Like, that's just so truly good. A Halloween
it's
movie.
It's so good. All right, Jenny.
I was kind of a goody two-shoes. I don't really have any memories of being like, I really want to watch this. And I'm like, I think I was definitely, if there was anything I wanted to rent and I knew I probably wasn't going to get away with it, I didn't ask. But again, having a sister who's 6 years older than me really made things a lot easier for me, where she got really into, she was really into horror and like weird kind of gross movies. And she was allowed to rent them because she was older. And then she would, you know, get home from school and then go to work, and I would get home from school and be like, oh, you still have The Last House on the Left here? Like, yeah, and watch it and be like, I'm not supposed to be watching this.
Yes.
And like that happened with a couple of different things where I would put it on and then be like, get like halfway through and be like, there's a reason I'm not supposed to watch this.
They actually my parents are right.
Ooh,
and
actually,
I shouldn't
let me
see
stop.
This. Oh my God. When I was a kid, I had a best friend who was a much more advanced reader than I was, and she was reading The Mists of Avalon.
Oh, yeah,
and I
dude.
Was so jealous, and my mom was like, oh, they have the TNT made for TV Mists of Avalon movie for rent at the library on VHS. It's on two tapes. And my mom was just trying to be supportive, renting it for me. But it's full.
Like, it's based on a book.
Yeah. How bad can it be? Here you go. Watch it alone in a room. And I did love it, but it was some serious, like, early awakening. It's like threesomes and, like, some incest and, like, very inappropriate things. And also as a kid being like, ooh, I shouldn't have this. But also my mom said I could because she didn't know.
Right.
And I know she didn't
library,
know.
So.
Yeah, it came from the library. Right. I could be. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
But we always forget how much the library really was a video store.
Yeah, that's where we got
so many
most of our.
Yeah, totally.
It was closer to our house.
Yeah.
So it was like,
it
yeah,
was,
same.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could walk there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think in many cases they were actually looser about the rated.
Oh, yeah.
It would depend on what you wanted.
Yeah.
If you wanted to watch like a classy rated R movie, those librarians knew it's like, oh, this kid's going to like that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
This is going to be great.
I know, the pass that it gets because it's based off of a book.
Yes.
The other movie that I still have not seen that I would stare at when I was a little older, after we moved to this area, there was a video store in Canaan, New York, and or no, sorry, Canaan, Connecticut, mm-hmm. and a video store in Millerton, New York, that we both used to go to, or used to go to both. And I remember it being the end of an era because they were always just kind of empty, and like yeah. I kind of and things started to be for sale more, yeah. and like shelves started clearing out, and I just remember that feeling. But we would still go so regularly, and at the one in Canaan, Connecticut, which the name I cannot recall of either, they had a copy of The Dreamers, that had the 18 years or older sticker. And I would have not thought twice about this movie if it didn't have that sticker. Because it had that sticker, yeah. I would be like, I'm just going to go over here, Mom. I'm going to look at this.
That's what everyone said about the Tipper Gore record sticker in the 90s. Totally. That putting it on it actually helped kids go find the records they wanted.
Yeah, that's for me. Yeah, that and the brown bunny, which I have seen, and it's not good.
Yeah, and there's a few movies from the Video Visions collection that he went out of his way to put those on.
There's like a handwritten label
on our wall. We have Pink Flamingos.
Oh my god,
and that's got one of those. Like, you cannot rent this under 18.
Which I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And you wouldn't know that one from looking at the cover.
No, it's not mine.
It's
you
like,
would never
it's
know.
Like, what
you're like, whatever.
Movie?
Yeah, totally.
Even The Dreamers is like, oh, this is a clearly sexy movie from the cover.
Yes,
totally. You know?
Yeah.
So funny.
Oh my god. All right, what else we got here? We got a couple more questions.
Mm-hmm. We got, so, is there a movie that you rented so often that the clerk was like, oh, this again? Are you taking this out another time?
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you just buy it, kid?
Well, for me, I couldn't think of too many examples of this because I was a pirating little kid, and I would dupe them onto VCRs.
Yes.
So
the statute of limitations is up, though.
You're
not going to be arrested.
Yes.
Well, here's the other really shady thing I did and didn't have to re-rent is I remember there was something I couldn't dupe. It must have had a copy protection that at that time I just couldn't figure out. I was too young. I want to say it was like The Bodyguard, and I actually took the label off the tape and put it on a blank tape and returned a blank tape to the store so that I could keep the movie. But
I want it.
Wow.
So aside from that, the movie that I do know I rented a lot and probably at some point copied and then finally bought was Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yes,
that was
amazing.
Huge favorite of mine, which is so funny to me that my mother wouldn't let me see the Rocky Horror Picture Show,
like,
but Elvira, Mistress of the Dark was
fine,
like, sure,
that's
go
fine.
For it.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Well, for me, I think the one that both of us are very obsessed with, and I always tell all our friends with kids, show this to your kids, it's the Warren Beatty Dick Tracy movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh.
No, me neither.
Highly recommend.
Okay. And it's perfect for everyone because there's Madonna and there's Stephen Sondheim musical numbers in it. But then there's a lot of people getting shot.
Yeah.
There's a little kid in it. So
but
it's
gorgeous
nice
color,
for kids,
hyper stylized, like good action plot, good twist at the end.
Yeah. Totally, all the deformed villains and everything. So we actually have a standee in our store. And separate from that, we collect everything we can find from the Warren Beatty Dick Tracy.
They also merchandised it like crazy.
Yeah. Like one of those little punching bags that you can get. Like we have one of
those. A frisbee with Madonna's face on it. I mean,
just like, you're like, okay, sure. There used to be the bar in Red Hook that was in the old movie theater. They had a huge Dick Tracy standee.
Get out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, totally.
But it's closed?
I don't know. We'll discuss off screen. Yeah.
Where is that standee?
I literally will tell you, I don't know if it's still open. We'll figure it out. Maybe I'm watching Dick Tracy tonight.
I know.
When I go home.
Yeah.
Again, because I'm younger. Jenny and I are younger. 1991. I was also always obsessed with horror, but I also would get scared. Like, I was like, I want it, and then I'd have it, and I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to sleep. Always like loved Scooby Doo, and then I loved Disney Channel's So Weird, and I really, really loved the Tim Burton Sleepy Hollow.
I
actually rewatched it not too long ago, and I was like, okay, this is still pretty good.
We just did a post about that on our Instagram, because the cast in that, you've got Michael Gough, Alfred from the Batman movies, you've got the Emperor in it from the Star Wars movies, Christopher Lee in it, Michael Gambon, so many people.
Yeah, totally. Stacked. It's so stacked. It's good. Like, it's kind of, you know, I don't know how everybody feels about Tim Burton's later career, but I think I know. It's kind of like one of the last really, really fun ones. And it's got such a great New England vibe, New England kid. So, yeah, I always loved that. And that was one where I rented it so much that the video clerk was like, okay, like the usual. And that's the one where the trailers, I really vividly can think of some of the trailers. There was a trailer. Was it before Sleepy Hollow? There's a trailer for a TV show called Miracles starring Skeet Ulrich. Yes. That's like the X-Files.
That's right.
But he investigates miracles.
I remember
and
that.
And the trailer used to really scare me. And that's one of those things that it took me years to figure out what it was until I like asked the internet enough times. And yeah. But yeah, Sleepy Hollow.
Incredible. I come from a family that doesn't really rewatch movies that much, which is really weird. I do now as an adult, but growing up, I didn't really, other than my aforementioned rewatching The Lion King until the tape burned out. But we owned that one because of my deep obsession. But we had a lot of actually these like ephemeral, like taping things from TV. And those were the things that I feel I would rewatch. Like, I definitely rewatched a couple episodes of The X-Files over and over again on tape. And then we also... There was this, actually, I meant to look this up, but I forgot. There was an Australian TV show called Spellbinders.
Whoa.
That I was really into as a kid.
Whoa.
And we had like two tapes of it that we had taped like, I don't know, maybe four episodes on, because I think they were probably 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And I remember putting them in and watching them a couple of times in a row. And having a real Spellbinders moment and being really excited when the next one came out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look this
up. Was it on like
the
Sci-Fi Channel?
No, it was like it was like on UPN or something. It was like one of those weird, like, who is watching this except maybe nobody on Earth.
Sometimes when you get like S Club 7 and stuff would trickle down.
I'm like, I don't know who decided to license this out, but I'm seated. I'm watching Spellbinders.
Oh my god, you're reminding, there is like a whole depth of forgotten TV shows in there.
Yeah.
Like things that used to...
Like those were the things that really stuck around for me. I was a real TV rewatcher.
Somewhere out there I have... I have a VHS copy of... oh my god, Con Air.
Oh yeah.
And it is the tape with the proper cover, but when I bought it, it was in a huge pile of VHS and the cover was off of it, and I had to kind of like find them and put them together. But the cover, somebody had reused at one point for their own home recording, and it has masking tape on it that I kept on there.
Cute.
That has like two episodes of Jeopardy and three episodes of Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
But Fortune is spelled F-O-U-R-C-H-I-N. It is so special to me.
Fortune.
Oh, I love that.
Fortune. I know. I'll have to bring it by.
Cute.
They did not like Con Air, I guess.
Yeah.
No. I'm not Con Air is amazing.
I'm trying to rewatch Jeopardy.
Is that rewatching Jeopardy? It's wild.
Oh my god.
Incredible. My god. What are like some of your VHS holy grail, like last question of the night, because we're almost done. But what's like something that you would love to come across, or something that you thought you never would but you finally have? Some big special ones.
For me, I'll say, because I just finally got them and I'm wearing the sweatshirt, Scream is one of my favorite movies ever. It's my favorite horror series ever. And they released covers of the first Scream on VHS that are these blue tinted, made to look like 1950s, almost like a Psycho image.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's one of Drew Barrymore, one of Neve Campbell, one of Courtney Cox.
Whoa.
So I finally just got all three.
Yes.
One of them is sealed, which I don't normally love, except for this, I want it like in pristine condition. So that was an exciting holy grail that I got.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of shot on video horror movies. Mm-hmm. So there's a great movie called Sledgehammer. It was the first shot on video horror movie that was also released on VHS. So I would love to get the original VHS, but it goes for like $500.
Oh my god. Yeah.
But Terrorvision and Severin just collaborated on putting it out on Blu-ray for the first time. It's wonderful. But I think my real holy grails would be finding my WPIX recordings of the movies, like chiefly things I watched all the time, like Masters of the Universe, Clue, watching them with all the commercials, with all the bumpers.
Yes.
And we put a lot of those bumpers into our own screenings because it just made it part of the movie. But who knows if they exist anywhere on the world?
Right, totally. I know, I wonder where those all went. Where did my episode of The X-Files, where Mulder and Scully finally kiss, where did it go? This has been Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda and with Guido and Rob. And this has been so, so nice to have you.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Such a pleasure. We will be back in 2 weeks with another episode. And you can find Sleepover Trading Company in Catskill.
Right
here on Main Street.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
We'll see you next time.